Yeah, so in my mind, it's simply a crowding out as a result of the AI trade. Like, if you think about it, the only thing investors are you know, excited about right now is the fact that SpaceX is IPOing soon, Anthropic is IPOing soon, OpenAI is IPOing soon. And so that's basically what's taking up a lot of the hype in markets right now. And if you think about it, there's only so many dollars that can go around. And so, like, the AI trade is becoming exceedingly popular. As a result, Bitcoin has decoupled from its historical correlation to software equities, right? What does that tell me? Well, it means one of two things, Pascal. Number one, Bitcoin is going to zero, which I don't think that's happening. Yeah. Or number two, software equities are getting bid up into the stratosphere because people are exhilarated about the AI trade. That's number one. I think the first component is that big crowding in the AI trade. I don't think AI is a bubble. I think at some stage, not this year, at some stage, we will see crazy overvaluation. Right now, earnings are actually supporting most valuations by modern standards, right? Still crazy high PE ratios, but nothing that we haven't seen before. I think you start to get into bubble territory, maybe late 2027, maybe late 2029. It's like way far out. Like, we're not in a bubble yet. And we might not even get there. Like, we might be entering into an era where we see crazy high earnings growth as a result of, I mean, I don't know. But the reality is, like, the dynamic is that there's only so much capital to go around. Investors are more interested in the AI trade. That's number one. So they're selling Bitcoin, or at least not bidding up as much. Number two, and we know this because a couple of things, like, one of the main ways we know this is that the Coinbase premium for institutional investors is deeply negative, and it flipped deeply negative back in October. Like, wouldn't you know it? Once Bitcoin started underperforming severely. So US-based institutional investors are selling BTC in order to buy software names that are more directly correlated to AI. So that's number one. Number two is that, you know, it could be the case that Bitcoin is sniffing out the geopolitical risks much more accurately than equities are. That could also be the reason for Bitcoin's underperformance. It's not so much why is Bitcoin underperforming, it's why on earth is everything else going up while we have a war raging in Iran and inflation expectations for next month over 4%. And the fact that we are falling and bond yields exploding to their highest level since 2007, at least in the 30-year and the 10-year. And like, why on earth is everything going up despite that? So Bitcoin might actually be the only asset in the room that's accurately pricing in the optimism surrounding the war. You know, and this also, it's almost one of the reasons Bitcoin is really nice is because it's sort of a pure play macro asset. It has no balance sheet risk, no corporate governance risk, no equity risk, anything that's associated with investing in the stock market. And so, but it trades risk on. And so it's just a pure expression of risk on, risk off sentiment. And so because Bitcoin started selling off back in October, and granted, since the start of the Iran war, it's still the best performing asset, right? But actually, I think that might not be the case anymore now that we're back down to 71. But regardless, for a while it was. I think that was because there was general optimism around the war ending. As the war has raged on and we are approaching the mid-June threshold, which Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, they've all cited as the threshold at which the SPRs globally dry up, the major nation's strategic petroleum reserves dry up, and you see massive inflation as a result. As we approach that threshold and the war seems no closer to ending, then Bitcoin is selling off even more. And so it doesn't surprise me. So in my mind, it's those two reasons in tandem. Number one, capital is fleeing elsewhere, but secondary, more importantly, Bitcoin may be the only asset that's accurately sniffing out the major geopolitical risks on the horizon and the potential inflationary recession we might be entering into if we don't end the war. So that's why I named my latest video something crazy. I think it was Bitcoin is about to make everyone look stupid. Not because Bitcoin is going to be appreciating massively, but because everything else might not be accurately pricing in the risks here, and Bitcoin is the only accurate one that is.
Yeah, it's some interesting two points. I mean, on the first one, you're definitely right. I think that's what we're seeing. I mean, given that I work at a bank as well here in Switzerland, you know, we have so many people approaching us, asking us on how to get in on the SpaceX IPO, and then also if there's already some early entry points for the Anthropic or OpenAI thing, you know. So that's definitely what we're seeing, especially also crypto people, you know, have made a ton of money with Bitcoin and crypto, and now just want to chase the new shiny thing on the block, so to say. In terms of the other point that you brought up, I'd be curious to know, because I mean, one could argue that Bitcoin started correcting back in October, or not argue, it actually started correcting back in October, you know. And there, some people were already saying the same thing, that it is sounding the alarm because we had this SOFR stress, you know, back in August, September of 2025, and Bitcoin then kind of corrected. And then a lot of people were saying, well, you know, a stock market correction is due. but it hasn't really come. And some people are saying it was already sniffing out the war, you know. And so my point being, is this also such just a story we like to tell each other, you know, and we attribute this to Bitcoin, but in all reality, it's just been the Bitcoin cycle, you know, coming to an end. And that's why everything turned over. And now we're looking for an explanation.
I mean, I honestly think it could be a little bit of both. I think maybe at the beginning, because I don't know if anyone was pricing in an Iran war in October. So I think maybe in the beginning, it was a general de-risking. It wasn't Bitcoin native, but the reason Bitcoin has sold off since then and is still selling off since then. And the reason I say it wasn't Bitcoin native is because software stocks began turning down at that exact same time too. So, but maybe since then, I think there's a case to be made that a lot of the selling has just been reflexive, right? If you expect Bitcoin to go down at a certain date and then bottom at a certain date, that's going to create a self-reinforcing loop of behavior in markets where investors just sell out of anticipation of the asset doing poorly. And so even though there actually isn't a reason for the four-year cycle to have a stranglehold on Bitcoin anymore, like there's actually no reason for it now that 20 million Bitcoin have been mined, it still seems to have a stranglehold on Bitcoin. And so like that could be it, but I think also it's exacerbated by the macro backdrop for sure. And, you know, I'm of the opinion that the four-year cycle is dead, but clearly I am close to wrong. I mean, we've bottomed out in February. If Bitcoin falls another $11,000, then that would mean the four-year cycle is still right. So we'll have to wait and see. Like if Bitcoin hits a new low before October, then the four-year cycle is still intact. If Bitcoin manages to not make a new low and begins trending higher and enters into a new bull market before or after October, then the four-year cycle is dead. So we'll still have to wait and see. But it seems like team four-year cycle is still in the lead here.
Interesting. Why would you say it would kind of show that it's wrong? Wouldn't that exactly be the case for it to be right again, you know? Because a lot of people are saying, well, October, November last year was exact topping time, you know, it came around at this time, it would take about 12 months for it to bottom and then enter into a new bull market. And that would also be by the October, November timeframe that you just brought up. So a lot of people would say if we see this, you know, then Bitcoin, the four-year cycle has just been sort of established once again, you know. Why would you say it would be proven wrong then?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, I'm pretty sure the four-year cycle posits that Bitcoin bottoms, not like forms a bottom, but bottoms a year after or 18 months after the halving. I could be wrong though. So that's why I say that, is because like typically, and you saw this in 2022 as well, I'm pretty sure, 18 months after the halving, or relatively speaking, Bitcoin found its low of 16,000.
Yeah.
Same thing back in 2017. So that's why I think it would invalidate the four-year cycle and it would be hugely bullish. We'll have to wait and see. And, you know, to another point there is that one of the most bullish things for Bitcoin is that every cycle we sort of invalidate the false gospel, if you will, with the lowercase g of the prior cycle. So, you know, back in 2021, we broke the narrative that Bitcoin can never break below its prior cycle's all-time high. We broke that narrative. So like we went all the way up to 20,000 and then we went up to 61 and then 69 and then we fell back below 20,000, which was the 2017 all-time high. And we did it again. We, the last cycle's all-time high was 69,000. We went all the way up to 126 and then we broke down below 69,000. And so it's actually, in my mind, healthy that these narratives get broken, because if people take these things as gospel and then they break down the line when Bitcoin is a much more valuable asset, that could have a much more catastrophic outcome, right? And so I, for one, am happy that these narratives are being broken and disproven. And another big narrative, and this is why I'm mentioning this, one of the other major narratives surrounding Bitcoin is that if Strategy sells its Bitcoin, it's game over. So silly. So completely and utterly silly. And so Strategy selling their Bitcoin, not because they need to, but because they have to, or not because they have to, but because they need to, rather, is actually a really, really bullish thing in my mind, because it's destroying yet another one of the old wives' tales that a lot of Bitcoin bears, and even Bitcoiners, like a lot of Bitcoiners hold this belief, which is just really silly in my mind. Like, you need to be totally illiterate in terms of corporate finance to say like Strategy is a Ponzi scheme, and if they sell, they're going to become forced sellers. You must understand they hold only a few million dollars worth of leverage on their balance sheet, and they have a $60 billion balance sheet, right? That's like saying, okay, I've got $1 million net worth, but I've got $10,000 in credit card debt. What do I do? This is terrible, right? Like, no, actually, you're fine. You're more than fine. And so like, in my mind, not to be rude, but it's like I see a lot of Bitcoiners who just completely lambast Strategy and say that they're, you know, but it's total financial illiteracy in my mind, because like all of the data is public. All of it's, you can see their balance sheet in real time. You can see their leverage ratios. So I digress. Point being, in my mind, it's really bullish that time and again, we're disproving these narratives around Bitcoin.